Yesterday, the federal government and Sports Australia combined to outline what the future of combating corruption and the likes in Australian sport looks like. As subsequent to an investigation and recommendations that had been put forward, it was announced there'll be the establishment of a new National Sports Integrity Agency. So what does that mean and how will it work? Let's find out with Sports Australia Chief Executive Kate Palmer. Kate, welcome to SEN.
Thank you, Jared.
Tell me, what is the concept of the Sports Integrity Agency?
Well, look, this Sport Integrity Agency came about following the Wood Review into sports integrity in Australia. So it was one of the most comprehensive reviews of sport integrity ever. And so for us at Sport Australia, you know, we have significant responsibilities around the leadership, governance and culture of sport. So for us, it's, you know, welcoming a response from the government that addresses really all of what I believe the key issues in the integrity area.
So why is it necessary? Why was it prescribed in the Wood Review?
Well, look, the increasing threats, and it's quite frightening, really, and the threats in, you know, doping, match fixing, illegal gambling, and I guess one of those that are very close to the hearts of most parents and sports in this country around the criminal threats to our athletes. So the grooming of young athletes around match fixing, those types of things. So this is about stamping out these sorts of practices or controlling as much as we can so that we know when we're sitting watching a sport or with, you know, participants there that they know that they're watching something that's fair and has a lot of integrity.
Across the gamut of sport, so professional sport, Olympic sport, grassroots sport, where will this have jurisdiction?
It'll have reach across sport, actually, from grassroots all the way to the elite. And so from a participant's perspective at the local level, that's that area of it. In actual fact, where we're seeing match fixing at, you know, second, third, fourth tier sport in communities in all around Australia, that will impact on them immediately. But the important thing for me too is that, for example, a 2-year commitment to pilot a sports tribunal will mean, you know, a more cost-effective approach or more support and reassurance that competitions are less likely to be manipulated. So for sport, it's a really important step in actually helping them to manage their integrity requirements.
Is there an international model for the agency that's been set up in Australia?
Yes, that's a really good question. And I have to say this is our world leading because of the fact that it brings together, you know, our anti-doping authority, ASADA, NISU, the National Integrity Sport Unit, and some of the roles of Sport Australia. So I think for us, it's a tremendous leadership position. But we did sign up on the 1st of February to the Macallan Convention, and I think that was a really important step for Australia because that's a multilateral treaty. It's right in the middle of working with our international cohorts and counterparts to really try and combat match fixing and that related corruption, across the globe. So it's something we're joining with our international counterparts to combat. And I think this structure will enable us to be more consistent, cohesive, make sure that any of the regulations and legislation, where possible, is consistent across Australia.
How will it work? Will it have investigators? What different levers will it have to be able to root out what's going on?
Well, I think there's some really important steps around the capability of an agency that has the policy, the legislation, regulation that supports their work across Australia, but also the ability to collect and gather information that's consistent, because at the moment it isn't consistent across Australia, for example, in the wagering space. So how do we actually make sure that we have the right information and that we can act on that in a consistent way across our country? So it's a really going to be quite a powerful entity, but not in a way, it's actually to work hand in hand with sport, and certainly agencies like ours, they'll be a really important partner to us. So for us, and I know that all of the sports are welcoming this, obviously they're waiting for the final stage of what's it going to look like as it's implemented. But this is an entity that will be able to have the ability to have an impact on integrity at sport at all levels. And because of the international context of sport in Australia, that global networks, is really critical.
Will it have coercive powers, or will it work in concert with police forces?
So all of the agencies, intelligence agencies, will work together. That's a really important part of this, that they, all law enforcement agencies will have, improved coordination, cohesive national legislation and regulation for things like match fixing and corruption. But the important thing is access to improved information. And so that will be really critical. There are some elements, of course, that still need to be worked through, and that those steps need to be taken. State and territory laws are currently in place, and so how do we actually work to make sure that these laws complement those rather than work against them? So there is a lot of work. This is the first step, this response to the Wood Review, or I should say the second step. The next step is putting a range of advisory groups together so that this can be fully implemented. And there's some elements, of the 52 recommendations, the government didn't support all of those or supported some in part. And generally that was in relation to our ability to make sure that we worked with state and territories closely to implement the proposals.
Sport Australia had a forum late last year around integrity, and one of the takeouts was that there were a set of sports that didn't feel that they were insulated in the way that the big money sports have been able to establish their own integrity. So does this meet that need which was articulated at that forum?
Yeah, so Sport Australia Hall of Fame and Victoria University partnered with us in delivering that forum. And for us, that the fact that this, especially the Sports Tribunal, but also the match fixing regulations and laws will ensure that the smaller sports are supported and there's education that they can go to a one-stop shop for advice. At the moment, there are a range of entities. This will mean that they will know where to go, and the idea is to support them. Of course, the work that we do, especially around child protection and member protection and doping, all of those sorts of things are really, really important, and we want to make sure that it should not be confusing. It should be something that's really clear and that we are all on the same page about. So for small sports, and many of them do not have any resource at all, but I would have to say the big sports can contribute here, and I think they have a leadership responsibility as well. They're very experienced in this space. They're working and investing significant amount of resources. So the work and what smaller sports can learn from them, I think, is a really important piece of this puzzle. And look, I suspect in time that some of those sports will make decisions around, for example, accessing the Sports Tribunal, because it could provide a really important independent source for them as well.
The agency itself, Kate, does it have the support of the big organisations, the AFL, the NRL, Cricket Australia, who have their own branches in these areas?
Yeah, so the large sports contributed to the review, and in actual fact, because of their expertise and background, now they've been facing these threats for a long time and dealing with them in the main in incredibly capably. So, they will welcome consistency around regulations, around an ability to tap into expertise and actually combine data and make sure that information gathering, there's a real stream of information flowing through the system. So they will welcome most, if not all, of this. But there is still an element of, steps that we need to take to make sure that we are all, that this is going to work for sport. And that's, as I said, they have a leadership responsibility to make sure they engage fully. And I have to say they have to date, to make sure that they contribute to the final makeup, how this is going to work.
Is it your hope that a body like the National Sports Tribunal would hear, say the drug cases that the AFL's tribunal has heard previously? In an ideal world, would an independent body hear those cases?
Yes, I would expect that, although there's opt-out for anti-doping, so the tribunal will deal with sort of three areas, really. They can sport can opt out around the anti-doping, and they can opt in for other matters, and they would think general matters and appeals. I would expect that there will come a point where sports will decide that they can use that forum because of its independence and you know, transparency. So we want, you know, the public needs to be confident that sport is really well governed. And so, you know, these are the sorts of things that could help these sports in making sure it's very transparent, that it's cost effective, and that can be dealt with really more quickly. So it's not something that's going to be dragged out for a long time and be incredibly expensive.
Do you think that'll take a little change in mindset where some sports, and if we took the AFL, as perhaps the idea of independence hasn't been something that they've always welcomed?
Well, look, I think it is going to take time, and it has to work for them. You know, they run a massive business in this country, and they are incredibly capable. They've done things before many other sports haven't. And in fact, some of these big sports have, you know, they're generally leading the way, and they have a really global understanding of what's needed. But, you know, I'm hoping that they would see this support, especially the independence and transparency, as to support their work, so that the public, the fans, the participants know that, you know, they're watching or participating in a sport that has, you know, that they can have faith in the outcome, that it's not being fixed, or that the athletes are not doping, that we are really in a, you know, in a really, we can enjoy sport for what it's the essence of sport.
So you've tapped into something that is active at the moment, is horse racing in Victoria. Does Sport Australia keep an eye on what's transpired in the Darren Weir case over the past couple of weeks?
Yes, we do. We don't deal directly in that matter, and we would, if they asked, we would support them. But, you know, generally we would not reach into that. But we watch this because of our role from a governance perspective. You know, the work that Sport Australia has done over the past 5 or 6 years in the governance space has made a massive shift in the way directors take accountability and responsibility. And, you know, I think from an education perspective, that makes a massive difference. So I respect the way that racing has responded to this very quickly. And, you know, it's in their interest to do that because it's protecting the integrity of their sport.
What about a less clear issue like the Alan Stajic sacking in soccer? Mm. Is, again, do you watch? Yes, do you have any role?
Well, look, our engagement, our leadership team have been working with FFA over a period of time and have been engaged in discussions around this. But in terms of the governance of this, that's the responsibility of the FFA board. But we are very interested in the impact on the athletes, the Matildas, making sure that they're safe and feel supported. We're very interested in the fact in Alan and his well-being, and, you know, the fact that he has a coaches association that can sit alongside him and support him is really important. So we look at all of the elements of this, not only the governance of the issue and what happened, but also the impact on athletes, coaches, and all of the officials around the team. You know, we really care about, look, we'd love the Matildas to win the World Cup, but more importantly, we want them to be safe and supported. And we feel the same about Alan. So for us, it's really around working with the AFL, FFA as much as possible to support them where needed, and we would not interfere. That's their business. But if they where they need us, we can provide that support.
Do you harbour any reservations about what's taken place from the players' perspective with surveys that their own association now says was used in a manner they didn't expect?
Yeah, and look, it's a really difficult thing when you don't have all of the information, and you have to be really careful about that. But I guess because of my background with athletes previously, you know, I know how very difficult it is and how sometimes helpless they feel in terms of their role. And I think, you know, for them, this is a really difficult time. And I know the FFA and I know our team where possible, and others have reached out as well to support them. The whole of Australia will get behind them. But on a day-to-day basis, I think it's very tough. So, yes, reservations because it's such a public thing. It's none of us really know and have all the information. So we can have a view, but we don't know the facts. So we've got to be careful about, you know, making a judgment.
Kate, appreciate your insights as ever this morning.
Thank you very much.